In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We speak responsibly the words of the introit. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you.
He will never permit the righteous to be moved.
Give ear to my prayer, O God.
And hide not yourself from my plea for mercy.
For it is not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it.
It is not an adversary who deals insolent with me, then I could fight from him.
But it is you, a man, my equal.
My companion, my familiar friend.
We used to take sweet counsel together.
Within God's house we walked in the throng.
But I call to God,
and the Lord will save me.
Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you.
He will never permit the righteous to be moved.
We
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Merciful Lord, cleanse and defend your church by the sacrifice of Christ. United with him in holy baptism, give us grace to receive with thanksgiving the fruits of his redeeming work and daily follow in his way. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament lesson for today is taken from the prophet Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it should be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and hear his word? Or who has paid attention to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord. Wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill the heaven and the earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name, by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson for this Sunday is taken from the letter to the Hebrews, the 11th chapter. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able to even raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as if on dry ground, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given friendly welcome to the spies. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. This is the word of our Lord. Please rise out of respect for the words and deeds of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The gospel for this morning is taken from the gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, in one house there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, a shower is coming. And so it happens. And when you see the south winds blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the words of the Lord, we confess our common faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Hey, be seated. We'll sing our sermon hymn.
Thank you.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, the text for our meditation this morning comes from the gospel lesson. I just want to highlight a few words from it. Jesus said, "I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." That is the words of our Lord. May the meditations of my words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. People have a way of surprising us sometimes. You think you know somebody, and all of a sudden they do something that surprises you. Or maybe they're something that seems to act out of character, at least as far as we know them. Maybe we had a normally loving and mild-mannered mother that all of a sudden, you know, blows a gasket over something we just did. I can only think of two or three times in my life that that happened with my mother, but they were doozies. Of course, you can imagine something really had to happen. But yeah, or sometimes it's the opposite. Somebody who's normally gruff and tough, you know, sheds a tear or does something nice. You know, that does happen. You know, perhaps we are surprised by the things that we hear Jesus say here. You know, we think of Jesus bringing the little children to him and all those nice little pictures that we see in the Sunday school books and so forth. And here, Jesus is doing something totally different. It's kind of like when Jesus took the cords and drove out the money changers. We might not be quite as bothered by that because they were probably crooks anyway. So sure, that's fine. But he does seem a little bit different, a little bit out of character to him. It doesn't seem like the Jesus that we know. You know, if that's the case, it's maybe the case that, you know, our picture of Jesus is a bit too limited. Just like in the case of my mom, my understanding of her was maybe a little bit too limited. She cared too much about myself and my sister to let us get away with certain things. And so also, you know, it is in terms of our picture of Jesus. You know, if we have a limited picture of Jesus, then we oftentimes have a limited picture of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, a Christian. Jesus could get quite stern when things came up that would affect our salvation. Like it had to come as a pretty big shock to Peter after not hearing too long ago that you are the rock and on this confession I'll build my church, that Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Because, you know, it wasn't just random, because Jesus and Peter had said something to basically say, "Jesus, you don't need to go to the cross. You don't need to do that." And of course, that affects not just his salvation, but everybody. So Jesus had to correct that, and quite strongly. You know, it doesn't mean that Peter couldn't follow him anymore. It just meant that he needed to realize what he was saying was leading people the wrong way. God, oftentimes they say, God works in mysterious ways, and sometimes that is the case. But his desire always remains the same, to separate us from harmful things and to bring us true peace and comfort. Now, sometimes a person might think, isn't it the whole point of being a Christian to be happy and comfortable, free from problems, smooth sailing from life? Now, some of you might hear that and almost laugh because, you know, that's just so far from what the way things actually work. But sometimes expectations. You know, that's we talk about teenagers, my boys. The biggest problem my boys have is their expectations. They have expectations of how things should be that don't match with reality, the reality of their life as teenagers or their life in general. And that causes them a great amount of distress and really anger more than anything else with each other or just with life in general. So, yeah, our expectations of what it means to be a Christian, if they're off kilter, it's going to cause problems some way or another. Many places God tells us in his word that being his child can sometimes make things tougher. Jesus said quite clearly to his disciples, in this world people do bait and switch. As a matter of fact, that's kind of a complaint in our house. My boys are doing martial arts and whatever, and they didn't really quite lay it all out for you. Oh, you find out later, oh, well, you really got to do this. Because they have this idea of, oh, if you really knew the whole package at the beginning, you kind of go, I'll take a pass. You know, so they just don't tell you all that. Jesus was not like that to his disciples, especially in the later, as his death came near, he just laid it all out for them. You know, and even when somebody came and said, "Hey, Jesus, I'll follow you," and he says, "Foxes have holes in the ground, whatever, but you know, my people don't have it. You know, he himself didn't have anywhere to lay his head." You know, these people, these would-be followers, he kind of told them right off, this is what it's going to be like. And he even said, you know, take up your cross and follow me. So You know, he said, I say it's a favorite passage. It's a favorite, and you'll find out in a second. One of my favorite passages is where Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble. Now, why would that be a favorite passage? That's not because at the time I was going through troubles and still do it. So it was heartening to say, okay, this is how it's going to be. But he doesn't stop there. He says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You know, so, but he lays it out right there at the beginning that if being a Christian is not going to just make life easy. As a matter of fact, in some ways it could even make it harder. Christians today, and I think we're all guilty of it at times, sometimes kind of water it down a little bit, try to make it a little bit easier. Turn Christian life into a comfortable armchair type of thing, easy chair. No demands, no sacrifices, no challenges. Some churches even kind of push that up. They don't, talk about those sort of things. No challenges, no inconveniences, no commitments. We don't like commitments these days. We want to have our peace and our blessings and live with comfort in this world. We don't want anybody to think we're odd or different. We don't want to stick out. We just kind of want to blend in and, not have any problems. We want the freedom to live as we want to do and have God's full consent and approval. Now, there's a saying, God bless this mess. Basically, we just kind of want to live whatever, and then God will kind of clean it up. There's even I don't even know if this is a thing anymore, Elf on a Shelf. It used to be a Christmas thing, whatever. But it's kind of God on a shelf, or God in a bottle, that is. Kind of doesn't bother me on a day-to-day basis, but just, if something goes bad, I can pull him off the shelf, and he'll fix things for me. But that's not, again, what we're called to be as Christians, not at all. When Jesus said to you in your baptism, follow me, he wasn't calling us to that kind of comfort. He wasn't calling us to that kind of life. He wasn't calling us to the kind of peace that wants to lay low, blend in, go with the flow, avoid discomforts or inconvenience. There's a reason why we sing a song. We're not singing it today, I don't think. Stand up for Jesus. You can't sing stand up for Jesus while you're sitting down. This doesn't kind of make any sense. The Christian life is a life of action, and of course, it's sometimes a life of difficulty. Jesus' statements may be shocking, but they fit in with everything that God says about himself. God has never been satisfied to give his people a cheap and easy peace and comfort in this world. He's always been separating his people as his own. That goes all the way back. That's one of the things I read the Bible with my sons, and we actually just went past the Exodus where God separated his people. We even read about that in the lessons. God separated his people from Egypt and took them out. He made a separate people from this. And that's been going on since the days of Adam and Eve, right there at the beginning. The first non-believer was their first son, Cain. He was the first non-believer. And that, so you can see right there in the beginning, that's, again, helpful of us knowing the Bible and reading through it, because that's the first division that happens. There's the family of Cain, who were by and large unbelievers, and the family of Seth. You might remember Abel, but he didn't get the last, and Cain killed him. And so Seth was kind of the next man up. And so those two families were going on, right, in the first chapters of the Bible, kind of separately. The family of Seth were the God, they even called the sons of God. It talks about that. But then problems happened because the sons of God, that is the sons of Seth, married the daughters of men, that is the daughters of Cain. And then all of a sudden, by the time, however many generations go by, you get Noah, where there's only 8 people left that believe in God. So there was a separation, but then there was a blending, and all of a sudden nobody good was left except for 8 people. And so that's what God is all about, is separating a people for himself. Then that's what he did with the people of Israel. And then you heard in the book of Jeremiah there the complaint, because God separated these people out so that he could have a people of his own. And yet then they started following other gods and started doing bad stuff. So there it happened again. And it's important for us to realize, when they say that God separates, God loves everybody. That's not the issue. As a matter of fact, when God kind of says, who wants to follow me, only certain people show up. He wants everybody, but that's where the separation happens. God, desires all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. But going way back, it just hasn't always been that way. And so, That's important for us, and that's why Jesus says, when Jesus came, did he come to die just for some people? What do you think? No, he came to die for everybody, and he did. Nobody can stop Jesus from dying for them. You can't say, oh, Jesus didn't die for me. No, that didn't happen. No, you know, no matter what a person believes, says, or does, they can't stop Jesus from dying for them. They can't stop God from loving them. They can prevent themselves from receiving any good from it. You know, there's certainly, there's definitely truth to that, and that's where the separation comes in. Jesus wanted everybody, but he knew that wasn't going to happen. He knew, you know, for instance, the leaders, the people in Jerusalem would put him to death. You know, he knew that. Didn't make him happy, but it's just, you know, the way things work. So Jesus can be, you know, it can be difficult to hear when Jesus says things like that, but that's the reality that we live in. You know, God's always been setting apart a special people for himself. He invites all people to be a part of it. You know, Jesus could have said and done a lot of things to make life easier for himself and his disciples if he would have just played ball, if he'd have just gone along and get along, if he didn't make waves, if he'd just done what people wanted him to do. But Jesus wasn't satisfied with that kind of peace because he knows it isn't really peace at all. You know, he wanted to give us the complete and total peace with God. And it's also said in Scripture, you got to have a choice. You can either have peace with the world or you can have peace with God. You can't have both. This is because the world hates God. So if you go one way or the other, there's no middle ground. A lot of people like to sit on the fence. You know, kind of play it both ways, but it doesn't work that way. You know, Jesus wasn't satisfied with that kind of peace, but wanted to give us the complete and total peace with God. So he paid the ultimate price, his life, and he considered it worth it. We even heard that in the Hebrews, you know, for the joy set before him. You know, if you, again, you read, you hear, you pay attention during Lent, was Jesus excited to go to the cross? There's a picture in my home church that Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. You can, when you look from the front, you see over the balcony, you can see him there praying, you know, drops of blood, you know, or sweat like blood anyway. So no, he wasn't excited about having nails. Actually, the nails in the hands were kind of nothing compared to being separated from his father. There, separation again. You know, Jesus endured separation from his own Father so that we could have, you know, not be separated from God eternally. And so he considered it worth it. Those who are redeemed by Christ, that's automatically a separation. When you are redeemed from something, you're not part of it anymore. That is kind of the whole idea of it. Those redeemed by Christ are separated as God's people. That separation, division, is part of our daily lives as Christians. Our baptism is a separation. In it, we have died to sin and its power over us. That's what Paul tells us in Romans. You know, died to sin and alive to God in Christ. You know, so we died to sin and its power over us and have been raised to new life in Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. When we say the confession and absolution, like we did just this morning, and hopefully, while you may not go through the little thing, hopefully we do that every day where we confess our sins to God. It doesn't have to be a formal thing. I kind of know most of the time when I mess up, and so I talk to God about it. You know, that kind of thing that happens, that also is a separation. And a separation from the old sins and the forgiveness and new life that God gives us. God continues to separate us from things within us and outside of us that are harmful. Right now, as I'm reading the boys in game, they just had the Exodus, and now this year we're reading through the book of Leviticus. It's kind of a dry book because it's a lot of rules and regulations. But we're actually going through it, and it's all those things that God is separating His people from things that are harmful from them. Even if it's this, just a picture of it, the clean and unclean, this animal's clean, this animal's unclean, you know, type of thing. It's that picture showing the separation and how important it is to separate ourselves, you know, from sin in this world, especially the sin that's inside of us. And so, you know, he wants to separate us from things that would hinder our growth as his children. He even goes so far as to allow pain and discomfort in our lives in order to remove harmful things from our lives. You know, that's sometimes, well, how does that work? You know, but the pain and discomfort gets our attention and hopefully directs us to focus our attention on God, and then sometimes he can show or reveal to us things in our life that are not really working so well for us. You know, we have the promise that whatever pain God causes in our lives, whatever he allows in our lives, is for a good purpose. You know, he says, I make all things work for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. So He makes all things work for the good of those who love Him. So we can be sure that whatever pain that we have, whatever difficulty we have in life, is not a punishment from God, not at all. You know, because Christ has already endured it. You know, nothing that happens to us is ever a punishment. Because you think about it, what is the punishment for sin? A hangnail? That's a punishment for sin. Back pain? That's a punishment for sin. What is the punishment for sin? Death. And you have to be careful about that. And not just death, eternal death. You know, the thing that we call death is basically a nothing in terms of in the scriptural cosmic standpoint. It's a nothing. You know, it doesn't really change anything. It just changes our location, basically. So yeah, it's eternal death. So nothing that happens in our day-to-day life, not having a car accident, not getting a bad diagnosis from the doctor, not, you know, whatever, pick and choose whatever you got, not having kid problems, none of those things are a punishment from God. You know, there are things that God may use to discipline us in life. And discipline, that word sounds awful. You know, I don't like discipline. I don't, I never like getting it. And quite honestly, as a parent, I don't even really like giving it. You know, it ain't no fun in it. You know, if you enjoy beating your children, not good. Not good. not a good thing. And I don't. You know, sometimes I may be angry enough to want to do something to them, but you know that passes. But discipline has the word disciple. There's a teaching. That's the whole idea. A disciple, and that's what God's purpose. Because we are God's children, and that doesn't change. That doesn't change. You know, our children, our earthly children, will be our children no matter what, even if they're in jail or who knows where else. And I don't make light of that because The pastor I was under when I was on Vicarage, his son was in prison. You know, I don't even know what he did, but it didn't even matter. But discipline, that son, you know, of course, that was a thing called pastor's kids. I don't know if you're ever familiar with that term. Yeah, I never even met his son. I was only there for a year. But anyway, he learned his lesson. You know, that got his attention, and God worked through it. And as a matter of fact, we support something called prison ministry, prison fellowship. And a lot of good things comes out of jail for people if they come to the Lord. So anyway, God uses all kinds of things, you know, to help us, to teach us, to get our attention. And so, and that's part of Him treating us. As a matter of fact, that, you know, you talk about it, I don't like discipline. You know, He says that, you know, God does it because He loves us. If you love your children, you discipline. If you don't discipline your children, what does that mean? Ipso facto, you don't love them. And believe me, it's a pain in the neck. You know, that old saying, this hurts me more than it does you. Well, yeah, but really, having to discipline them, whatever, I don't spank them that much when they're 16 years old, but doing that, sometimes I feel like it, but anyway, that's human. But it's difficult, and I just assume not, you know, but that's what, you know, and because God loves us, He disciplines us in many and various ways, you know. It doesn't mean, you know, that He doesn't care about us. It means exactly the opposite. He wants us to be separated from whatever it is that's causing difficulty in our life. And so, now that we talked about it again, this division, you know, that happens. And it's important for us to remember that as Christians. It's not just when we leave this building, but all the time. We live in a world where not everybody believes in God. All right? So what does it mean, you know, to be divided? You know, when I go to work, you know, I go about twice a week these days, and there's hardly anybody there. It's very easy to be divided there. There's hardly anybody be around to begin with. But the guys I go to work with, most of them are not Christian. You know, being divided doesn't mean I won't eat lunch with them. That's not quite the opposite. It just means I'm mindful of, you know, where people are in their relationship with God. I don't always know 100%, but I do have to pray for them, to care about them. You know, being divided doesn't mean we avoid people. That's not what Jesus is talking about when He talks about the separation. You know, but we are aware of how people influence us. There can be sometimes some people that we should separate ourselves from because they're bad influences on us. We have to know that about ourselves. And so you have to really pray about that. But generally, it's just, again, being aware. And when He talks about in families, being aware. You know, This isn't happy, happy, joy, joy, where it's like, oh, it's all happy and everybody's life goes on. It's like we're in it, and that's, again, difficult. I would just rather pretend everybody's saved and I can just live my life. But that's not reality. And that's not love. That's me being unloving. Yeah. There's even some guy, he wasn't even a Christian. He said something like, if you don't tell me about Jesus, that means you must hate me. Yeah, because he, even though he didn't believe in God at all, he kind of put two and two together. If you really believe this, and yet you don't say anything to me about it, then that must be you don't care anything about me, because you just, you're okay if I just go to hell, you know, type of thing. So I have people in my life, one of my best high school friends that I see when I go up north, you know, who's not a Christian. And so I don't just kind of pretend everything's fine. I pray for them when I think about it. I pray to God, you know, how can I be a good witness to them? You know, I'm not just getting at the Bible every time I see him and start quoting scripture to him necessarily. But that's part of what the seven, and again, family members, my two nephews, I don't think either one of them are Christians. They don't give any indication of it whatsoever. So I pray, and I'm their godfather, you know, not the mafia kind, but the baptism kind. I could put some mafia on sometimes, but that would get some sense into them. They're good guys. That's just it. They're going to college. They're good guys, but God has no part in their life. That's reality. Again, pray. I only see them a couple times a year. How can I be an influence? That's what it. When he talks about that separation, that we just recognize that's a part of life. And so, how can we be, you know, God's influence in these people's lives? How can we? How can we again be real about the people in our lives? You know. When where they stand with God to the best of our knowledge. And then, okay, what can we do about it? Pray for the number one thing is pray for them. And then what action does God give? So anyway, that's the tough thing that Jesus says, but it's a reality, and it's good for us to be aware of it and to live it in our life. So I hope that you have been shocked by what Jesus says here. It's about time we had a complete picture of Jesus, that we keep that. And that, I have to remember that myself. I'm not immune to it either. You know, we need to hear the things that Jesus says so we can learn who he is, what he has to say, and who he has made us to be as God's children. I pray that we would never settle for an easy chair Christianity. And believe me, I'm there sometimes. I am definitely there sometimes. I like to just kind of phone it in sometimes. But that's not who and what we're called to be. And that's not a good life. You know, I'm never in the end happy when I live that way. You know, we want to be true, and being a true Christian doesn't mean we're unpleasant to people or anything like that. Quite honestly, the opposite. We're a blessing to those around us. We love. Matter of fact, that's the best way to witness to people is by loving, by caring. I've told the story, and I'll just say briefly again. I don't see her anymore, because I don't see any people at work. But she said, "Why are you so happy all the time?" You know. So boom, there I went. I told her. So that was, you know, that's the kind of thing. Yeah, you know, to live as live intentionally as God's children in this world, you know, that we would, you know, we would be listening to the Christ, our Lord, who gave His life for us, and that we would live in a way that's true of His calling to us. We are separated as God's people, you know, special to Him. He baptizes and disciplines you as His children, and because He loves you, He separates you from harm, just as He baptized you in His name. We've been separated from having to die to sin, and we've been raised to new life through the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, who has separated us out as His children. Amen. We pray for all the people of God and for all things in Jesus' name. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spirit of Jeremiah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses, that in the days of division, our hearts would be strengthened to confess in word and deed the glory of God's name, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the power of the Holy Spirit to overshadow the servants of God, that they may build up the church of God on the eternal foundation of His holy word, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For parents, that they may bring up their children to resist temptation and to endure all for the sake of Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our nation and all those who dwell in authority, that our Lord God Almighty would behold them in His mercy and replenish them by His grace, that all who receive the sword would bear it according to His word, always inclining to His will and walking in His way, and that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are suffering from any sickness of body or soul, especially Anne Marie Karenik, Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Sandra Avilia, Jan and Sheila Johnson, Robert Galavias, Alfred Durson, Jeff Schaffner, Cheryl Ballard, Dean Saverly, Barbara Hanvey, Scott Papka, Bob Dittert, Don and Donna Tolner, Robert and Donna Knopf, Minnie Meyer, and the family of Don Kreitz. We pray especially that God would grant healing to their bodies, strength to the weak, endurance to bear up under trial, patience to await His deliverance, and peace at the last. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For hearts that prize our baptism and the communion of saints above all other relations in the world, even as we pray and strive for the salvation of those we know and love, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In thanksgiving for the saints who have gone before us, that we who share with them the feast of heaven would also follow their way through death to eternal life, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Hear us, merciful Father, in these our humble requests, which we offer unto You in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. Let's sing the hymn. The Lord be with you. Oh, please rise. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right, so to you.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and at all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing, in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is in the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Be with you always. give thanks to the Lord, for He is good.
And His mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to You, Almighty God, that You have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore You that of Your mercy You would strengthen us through the same in faith toward You and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Are there any announcements?
Excellent.
Okay.